We begin the current daf Masechet Tzitzibam is daf Samech Aleph. Begin on the bottom of Samech Mepes, on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues in the related theme of the previous daf, where Reb Shimon ben Yochai said a chiddush in halacha that when a non-Jewish woman converts under the age of 3, although generally a woman that converts would be forbidden to a kohen because we consider her in the status of a zayna, however, under the age of 3, he said that there the bia is not considered a cohabitation, and therefore she's not a zayna and should be permitted to a kohen. So the Gemara continues, Tanya learned the Braisa, that v'chein ha'i b'shem min yichai yomer, a similar halacha regarding halachas of a non-Jewish person. So we continue on top of Samach Aleph Manal. The following halacha, kivri evde kechavim, the graves of non-Jewish people, of idol worshippers, in a mitam b'oil, do not transmit tumah, what's called tumas oil. In other words, if someone leans over a grave or a corpse, something that's dead, generally that's what's called tumas oil. There's a few components to tumas oil, either one's being the oil, he's the canopy over the mess, or they're in the same oil. And that is what Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, that if someone is leaning over the grave of a non-Jewish person, although by a Jewish person that would be considered tumas oil, and he'd become tame for tumas oil. However, that does not apply to a non-Jewish grave. Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Yecheskel, it says, "Va'atein tzayni, you, the Jewish people, are my sheep. Tzoy marisi, the sheep of my pasture. Adamatim, you are man." Now, the inference is, Atem kurim adam. You, the Jewish people, are called man. Ve'eno evdi kuchavim kurim adam. But the idol worshippers are not called man. Only Jewish people are. Now, by the tumah of oil, it says, Adam ki yamas ba'oil. When an adam will die in a tent, then that will transmit tumah to someone that's in that same tent or is leaning over that grave. But that's only by adam. And evdi kuchavim are not called adam, and therefore they do not transmit tumah's oil. Now that the Gemara asks, Meisvei, but we learned the pasuk about Midbar that says, V'nefesh Adam, and this is in the context of the people of Midian, that the souls of the people were Shisha Asr Elef, there were 16,000 of them. So we see that, albeit that they were Ibdi Kachavim, they're called Adam. So that the Gemara answers that, no, this that they were called Adam was only Mishum because it had to write also Behema. It said over there, V'chamayru Mubakar, was talking about the war that they waged against Midian, how many people were killed and taken captive. Now, contrast to Behema, they're called Adam. But the generic term Adam of man does not apply to Ebedee Kachavim. There that said Adam was only as a way of relativity to an animal. The Gemara asks a similar question from a pasuk in Yoina. It says, Asher yesh b'harba mishteim esrei ribei Adam, that this great city of Nineveh has more than 10 myriads of people, that they don't know between their right and their left. Now, that's a reference to the people of Nineveh who were Ivdi Kachavim, and yet the pasuk used the word of Adam. So the Gemara gives the same answer, Mishum Behema. It's only because it says within the pasuk also regarding how many animals there were there. And therefore, to contrast the two, it calls them Adam, but the generic term of Adam only applies to the Jewish people, and therefore Adam Kemes Pa'el will only apply to a Jewish grave. Now, that the Gemara asks, but in the context of the Psukim of Midian, it says, Kol Hayrig Nefesh. It says, whoever killed a person, whoever touched a corpse, Tischatu, has to purify himself. Now, the Gemara's question is, from the fact that we see that there was a Tumah of 7 days, which is what happens when somebody comes in contact with a corpse, obviously the dead bodies of the Midianites does transmit Tumah, and that refutes the Halach of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. So the Gemara says, no, Dil me'iktal chad mi'Yisrael. This is the pasuk was saying, if anyone became impure from touching a dead body, is because maybe they killed one of the Jewish people. And if you touch that corpse, then you go ahead and you become tameh, but not because of the Midianites. Whereas the Gemara says, Rabbanan, what do they hold? They say, no, you can't say, like the Gemara answered Reb Shimon ben Yochai, that maybe it's one of the Jewish people, and that's how they were the transmission of tumah. Because lo nifkad mimenu ish, the pasuk says that they said, we didn't lose any one of our men. So obviously, if they're telling that if anyone came in contact with a corpse, that they have to purify themselves, obviously it was told one of the Midianites, and therefore they say, that there is a transmission of Tumah, not only from a Jewish dead person, but even from a non-Jewish dead person. But Reb Shimon Yochai, what would he say? He said, no. When it said in the pasuk, Nifkad Mimenu Ish, we didn't lose any one of our men, it meant La Vera, for sin. That is, although there were other times that the Jewish men had sinned with improperly gazing at the Midianite women, here it was saying that no, we didn't lose any one of our men, but very likely in the physical body that they did lose, and therefore that's how they were saying if someone contact a dead Jewish corpse, then they had to purify themselves. Now the Gemara says, actually, Ravina, he says that regarding this last question that we asked, where, what do you mean? There seems to be that, especially if you learn Lo Nifkad Mimenu Ish, which the literal translation would sound like none of the Jewish soldiers died, so it must have been from only the non-Jewish soldiers, and yet we see that if someone touched a dead body, he would have to purify himself. So he says, not necessarily that Lo Nifkad Mimenu Ish meant laveri, but he says like this. The reason why it's not difficult in Shema Yechai is, Shemaychai's drasha was only on the pasuk of Adam Kiyamis Ba'ayil. So although, yes, a non-Jewish grave, a non-Jewish body will not transmit tumah for someone that's leaning over it, that's because the chesiva says in the pasuk Adam Kiyamis Ba'ayil, as we said, because you're called Adam and the non-Jews are not called Adam. Mimaga umasa mimatina kra? But did we ever have in the pasuk that we excluded from the what's called tumas maga, touching a dead body or carrying a dead body? By touching what the pasuk says be'etzema b'chal, there it doesn't say the term Adam, and therefore you're right. Although non-Jews are not called Adam, they're still going to transmit tumah with maga, with touching, or masa, with carrying, and therefore it's not a contradiction from the pasuk that says that if someone came in contact with a dead body, that he has to go ahead and purify himself, because there is tumas maga masa even for non-Jew. It's only with tumas oil, which you're not even touching or carrying. You're leaning over, that's called Temesayel, that's only by Adam and the Akama Aloikurin Adam. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding the validity of the union of certain women to Kahanim. So the Mishnah tells us that Iris Es Almona, if a Kohen had yet a regular Kohen, got engaged to a widow, which he's permitted to, but Vinisman Ali is Kohen Gadol, in the interim when they're engaged, the other Kohen Gadol, let's say, passed away, and he became promoted to become a Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Almona. In spite of that, the Mishnah tells Yichnois he could consummate the relationship with Nisuin because he was already engaged in a permitted fashion when he was a Kohen Hedyu to the Almona. Well, Maisi Bishub Megamla, actually was an insert with Yishub Megamla, Shekidish Es Marta Bas Paisis, that he had gotten engaged to this widow, Marta Bas Paisis. Well, Minoha Melechli is Kohen Gadol, and in the interim when they were engaged, the king promoted him to be the Kohen Gadol. Well, Kenosa, and he went and he consummated the relationship with Nisuin, Sim Halacha. However, Mishnah tells us Shemeres Yavam Shenof Lefnei Kohen Hedyot. If there's a woman that's anticipating either Yibum or Chalitza for the Kohen Hedyot's brother die without any children, and now she's waiting for the Kohen Hedyot, which a Kohen Hedyot is permitted in the woman that was widowed from her husband. But in this manner, the Kohen Gadol was appointed to be the Kohen Gadol. That Allah is Avah Pishasa Maimer. Even if he had already made Maimer when he was still a Kohen Hedyot, which is somewhat of a stronger union, it's definitely at least as strong as Erisin, Harezel Yichnas, however, in spite of that, he's not allowed to consummate the relationship with this Yavama. So the Gemara explains Rabbi Ramban the Brisa. Minayin Shem Iris Samana, where do we know this halacha of the Mishnah? That if a Kohen Hedyot got engaged to a widow, then this manali is Kohen Gadol, she Yichnas, that he got appointed in the meantime, that he could go ahead with Nisun. So Tamil Leimer says, a pasuk in the Yikra, it says, Besula Me'amav, regarding Kohen Gadol, it says that a Besula from his people, Yikach Isha, he should take as a woman, as a wife. Now, that word Isha is unnecessary. It should have just said that Besula Me'amav Yikach. Why say Isha? To make a drasha, to tell you, as we had learned on the previous staff, that the defining characteristic for the heter of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen with their unions is the point of Erison. And since by the point of Erison it was permitted for him to be engaged to her, because then he was a Kohen Hedyot, although now he's a Kohen Gadol, he can go ahead and consummate that with Nisun. Now that the Gemara asks, Hachi Shemeres Yavim Nami, then why don't you say the same Svara, the same logic regarding a woman that's anticipated Yibim, especially since the Mishnah said, regarding a Mimer, that even if he did a Mimer, which is maybe even stronger than Erison, and yet still we say that if he did that when he was a Kohen Hedyot, he cannot consummate that with Bia. The Gemara says, because the Ribui is from the Drasha of Isha. Isha v'lo Yavama. It says that a wife, but not a Yavama, and the Yavama is excluded, so although it's in a way stronger, but the pasuk is excluding it from Isha, and that's why the halacha is, as the Mishnah says, lo yichnis, even if she's anticipating, and there is a Zika maybe, and even if there's a Mimer, he can't go ahead if he became a Kohen Gadol in the meantime. Now the Mishnah said that, to follow up with that halacha, that Maisa B'Yeshua, there was such an incident where that same thing happened, Kohen Hedyot got engaged to Almona, became a Kohen Gadol, and was Kenasa. Now, however, the Gemara makes an inference regarding this story. It says, Minohu in. In other words, it sounds like that the king appointed him, but the inference is that his brothers, the rest of the Kehanim and the Sanhedrin, who they usually make these decisions, did not appoint him. And that is Nisman Oloi. Doesn't say Nismana that he was appointed. That sounds like that he was the one that was fit to be. It says, Minohu, the king appointed him. So on that, Rabbi Yisrael says regarding that inference that ketir, which is from the word of kesher, of a bond, there's some type of kahoots over here, of bond of wicked people, kechazin hacha, that I see over here, and that is really he wasn't fit to be the Kohen Gadol. It's just that they gave money and bribed their way in to the office of the Kohen Gadol. As the Amr Vas, like Ravasi says, Tarkava de Dinri, there was 3 dinarim that Ayla la Marta bas Baisis Liana Malka. She gave him a bribe, she gave him money to King Yanai. Until her, the man that she was engaged to, she got him promoted to become the Kohen Gadol. And again, like it sounds like from the story that Iminahu, but not Nismanim. It wasn't really that he was the one that was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding the unions of the kahuna to certain women. So the Mishnah tells that Kohen Gadol, Shemes Achav, that his brother dies. So chaylet, so the Kohen Gadol is chalitza v'loy miyam, and he doesn't do yibum. And the reason is, very simply, because any case of yibum will be that the woman has been widowed. And the Torah says the Kohen Gadol cannot marry a widow. Now, the Gemara, however, makes the following inference and asks the question. Kapasik v'tani, the Mishnah says a general blanket statement that lo yichno min ha'erisin v'lo yichno min ha'nesuin. It sounds like it doesn't make a difference what type of a widow she was, meaning that the brother that died without any children, whether she was engaged to him or married to him, that either one, when she's widowed, he cannot go ahead and do yibum. To which the Gemara asks, "Bishlamim min ha'nisuin." I understand that if she had consummated this relationship, and that she already had the second phase of marriage, that the Kohen Gadol cannot do yibum because asei v'lois aseihu. There's 2 problems in marrying this woman. There's a positive commandment of besula yikach. He has to take a besula, and she's not a besula because once she had nisuin, she already consummated the relationship. She had cohabitation, and therefore she's a beula. Moreover, she's an almana, and the Torah says almana leikach. Now, and therefore, so although there's a positive commandment of Yavama Yavi Allah, but a mitzvah cannot be Deicha and Leisase Vase. But Elim in the Erisin, but if she's only engaged and then his brother died without any children, Yavi Asay, Vietchas Leisase, let the positive commandment of Yibum override the negative prohibition of Amon Leikach. I think more answers, as we had this discussion on Daf Chof Mer Alef, Gezerah Bia Rishayna Ata Bishne. You're right. Essentially, we should say Asid Dechalese, but it's a rabbinic decree if we allow the first act of cohabitation with the Kohen Gadol and this Yavama, then he might come to do it a second time, and then you're already not going to have the mitzvah Sase anymore because you already fulfilled that with the first act of cohabitation. And then you're going to run into a problem because you're going to be violating a Leisase because you're not going to have any more the Ase being Dechal Leisase by the Bishne, and therefore we didn't even allow it, even by Birishayna, because of that biblical concern of that Leisase. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing regarding certain relationships of women to Kohanim. So the Mishnah says, Kohen Hedit lo yisa ilanus. A Kohen Hedit, even a regular common Kohen, is not allowed to marry an ilanus, which is a woman that doesn't have certain signs of the female characteristics, which is generally a woman that cannot have children. So Kohen Hedit cannot marry such a woman. Elim Kain yeshli isha banma, less if he has a wife and children already. And the reason is, as the Gemara will explain, that essentially the reason is because the Kohen has to fulfill Piriv, he has to proliferate, he has to have children. And essentially, really, this halacha of not marrying an ilanus would apply even to a non-Kohen, because it's talking about someone that doesn't have children and a wife. And then we'll explain, well, so why did he say it in the context of a Kohen Hedit? If it really applies to any person that doesn't have a wife and children, cannot marry ilanus because you have the mitzvah Piriv. But actually, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he says, even if this Kohen Hedit has a wife and children, still he's never allowed to marry an ilanus. And the reason is, she, this woman that's an ilanus, is the term zayna that's mentioned in the Torah that says that a Kohen Hedit is not allowed to marry a zayna. And the Gemara will explain with the reasoning for that, why is she considered a zayna? What did she do wrong? She was born like this, and therefore what would be making her into what generally considered a harlot, a woman that is immoral in the relations, by just being an ilanus? Now the Mishnah concludes, however, Chachamim, they say no. Oh, an ilanus is not a zayna. Ein zayna, the term zayna is only eliki yairis, a woman that converted, umeshachreres, or that became freed. And the reason is because these two women, before they became full-fledged Jewesses, had relations with non-Jews and slaves, which are invalidating types of cohabitations, and therefore gives her the definition of a zayna to be forbidden to a Kohen. And Vishnevela Bilas knows any woman, even a regular Israelis, a Jewish woman that had relations with a man that's forbidden to her, that gives her the definition of a Zayna, which would thus make her forbidden forever to get married to a Kohen. Yeah, the Gemara explains the Mishnah. Amalir Shkulusa L'Rav Huna. So, my time, what's the reason, seemingly hard to understand, regarding the Tanakama that said that a Kohen Hedyad cannot marry an islandess? So now he says, as we had already alluded to this in the Mishnah, Mishum Peri Yevri, it's very simple. Because he has a mitzvah, as we said, it's only if he has a wife and children that he could, but if not, he cannot, because he has a mitzvah to have children. And a woman that's not on this, he cannot have children with. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Why are you saying in the context of a Kohen Hedyad? Are Kahanim the only ones that have commandment to have children? And non-Kahanim don't have that mitzvah, so why say it regarding Kohen Hedyad? So Amalei said to him, you're right. It really applies to Yisrael just like a Kohen Hedyad. But Mishum de Kabay, Lemis Neseva, since the next opinion mentioned in the Mishnah, we have to say, Rabbi Huda Omer, Afa Pishi Yeshle Isha, V'Kinyat Tomid Beis, V'Yeshle Bonim, that the Kohen Hedyad, even if he has a wife and he has children, still he argued on Tanakam, and he says, Lo Yisa Islanders, he's not allowed to marry to Islanders, because he says, She's Zayna Murbet Tayro, just by being an Islanders, she's considered a Zayna. Now, Ta Zayna Kahanim Hu Demifkadi. The only one that's forbidden to marry a Zayna are Kahanim, V'Yisrael Loimifkadi, and non-Kahanim are not prohibited. And Mishum Hochik Tanei Kohen, that's why already in the first opinion mentioned that at the Tanakam he mentioned Kohen, because the next opinion was going to be saying that this that you said that he cannot marry the islandess when he doesn't have a wife and children. But if he has a wife and children, then he could. And that Rabbi Yehuda says that no, it's even if you have a wife and children that's forbidden, but that's only if it's a Kohen. And that's because he considers Alnas a Zayna. That's why Tanakama already, when he said Allah, said a Kain, but really the same Allah would apply even to a non-Kain. Now, that the Gemara asked him, Rav Huna, my time to Rav Huda, what's the reason of Rav Huda? Why would an Alnas be considered a Zayna? So the Gemara said, Dechsel, he says, a person can Hesheya, and that's his source. It says, Ochlu v'lo yisbo. They will eat, they won't be sated, they won't be full. His nu v'lo yifreitzu. They're going to be promiscuous, and they will not proliferate. Now, the way he darshans the pasuk is, kol biya she'ein ba pirtza, any act of cohabitation that doesn't have a proliferation, eina ela bila znus, that is just an act of znus, meaning because the purpose of cohabitation is to have children. So it's saying, hiznu v'lo yifreitzu. You know what the characteristics of znus is? Is v'lo yifreitzu. It's not for the purpose of proliferation. Therefore, that includes an islandess who cannot proliferate, cannot have children, and therefore she's considered zayna, which is forbidden to a kain. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara says, Tani lema b'raisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says more than this. He says, Kohen le'yisa es ha'katana. He says, a kohen cannot marry a minor girl. Now, Amalei Rav Chizkiya l'Rabba, so Rav Chizkiya said to Rabba, Puk ayin bo, go out, analyze this halacha. Why would it be that a kohen cannot marry a minor? And the reason is, d'l'urta b'ilach, because when it comes evening time, Rav Huna is going to ask from you the reasoning for this halacha. So Nafik Ayimba, so he went out, he investigated the source of this halacha, and he said the following reason. Rabbi Eliezer, Sovel HaKirei Meir, V'Sovel HaKirei Yehuda. The reason for this halacha, Rabbi Eliezer, is because he holds like two Tanoic opinions, that of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and because of that combination, he came to the conclusion that a kohen cannot marry a katana, as follows. Savlakreb Meir, the first opinion that he holds like is Agur Meir, the Chayish Lamayuta, the Meir is concerned for even minority of odds. As the Gemara later on will bring from a Braisa that a cotton, a minor, cannot do Yibam, and the reason is because maybe it's going to be that he's a Sris, which is something wrong with his member that he cannot have children, and hence, if he's going to do Yibam, it's going to come out Shalei B'Makam Mitzah, and therefore it's going to be a problem, he's violating the Isra of Eshazach. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer also is concerned over here regarding a minor, Katana, then maybe, which is a minority of women, maybe she's an islandess who cannot have children. Now, the Sovel HaKirei Yehuda, moreover, he held the HaKirei Yehuda, Dama islandess Zayna Havya. If he's concerned that this woman might be an islandess. Now, so therefore what? But he also holds the HaKirei Yehuda that islandess is a Zayna, and a Kohen cannot marry a Zayna. So because of the compound of those two opinions, he held the Kohen can never marry a minor. Now, on that, the Gemara asked on both of those attributions. First of all, a HaKirei Meir misavala, does Rabbi Eliezer really hold a HaKirei Meir? But the time learned a Braisa that says, katnu katana, which means to say, either a minor boy or a minor girl, the halacha is leicholtzim lemiyam and debri meir. Meir holds, they can neither do chalitza or yibim if either one of them is a minor, either the boy or the girl. Now, Amalei Rabbi Meir, so they responded to Rabbi Meir, wait a second. Yafa marta shein chaltzim, we agree to you that if either one is a minor, that you cannot do the procedure of chalitza. And that's because ish ksiv b'parasha. In the parasha of chalitza, it says, v'im lo yachbitz ha'ish l'kachas his yavamta. If the man doesn't want to take his yavama, well, then you go ahead and you do chalitza. Now, therefore, it says ish, which means an adult. U'makshin an ish l'ish, and we equate the woman to the man, just like the man there in that context is an ish, which is an adult, so too the woman has to be an adult for chalitza. So we agree to you that, yes, if either one of them is a minor, you can't do chalitza. But what's the reason that you say that if either one's a minor, you cannot do yibam? There the parasha by yibam doesn't say ish. So Malay Rameir says, I'll tell you why. And that's what we alluded to before, is the opinion of Rameir. The reason why I don't allow if he's a minor is because maybe, although that's a minority, maybe he's a sris, which again, there's something wrong with his member. Now, in Ketana, if she's a minor, maybe she's an illness. Now, v'nimtzu, what would come out is, since they're not applicable for the context of yibum, which it has to be yokum ha'shem achim, the purpose is that he can then father children from this woman to create children, it's going to come out that poigim be'ever, it's going to come out that actually, this is not a union of yibum, this is a union of a forbidden relationship of his brother's wife, not in the context of mitzvah, because actually the pasuk exempts when you cannot have children. As it says in the pasuk, asher teled, which the Gemara elsewhere darshins, that excludes an illness who cannot have children. Therefore, it has to be that there is a capacity for children, and that's why I don't allow it, if either of them is a minor, because maybe, although it's a minority, maybe they are an illness or a Swiss, and therefore they're violating a Isra of Karas, therefore they have to be an adult to be able to do Yibam. Now that's your mayor's opinion. However, Vitano in the Braisa, that Ketana Misya Bemis, this opinion says that if she's a minor, she could do Yibam, but ve'ena chaletzes, and that is she's not allowed to marry someone else based on her chalitza, and that's because, as Rashi explains in this opinion, is because the acts of a minor, in this case the girl, has no authority, has no halachic relevance. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Now one thing we see that Rebbe Eliezer says, that even if she's a minor, she could do yibum, which Rashi explains the process, which what happens is that they do yibum. Then he maintains her as a wife until she becomes an adult. And then that will be the fulfillment, when she finally becomes an adult, of the complete mitzvah of Yibam. But one thing we see is that Rebbe Eliezer is not concerned, like her mayor was concerned, to disallow Yibam when she's a minor. Because we see, he says, Ketana is Misya Bemis. So how can you say that he's like her mayor, that he's Chayish Lemiyuto? If he held like her mayor, that he's Chayish Lemiyuto, he wouldn't allow the Ketana to do Yibam, because maybe she's an illness. So that's question number one. Moreover, does he hold a Rabbi Yehuda that holds that an illness is considered a zayna, and therefore because of the concern of that the minor is an illness, together with the fact that an illness is a zayna, he says you cannot a kohen cannot marry an illness? But Vatanya learned the Braisa that says zayna. What does the Torah mean when it says that a kohen cannot marry a zayna? So there's actually six interpretations in this Braisa of what it means. The first one, zayna kishma. A zayna means like the definition of what the word, as we find in Tanakh, what it means. It always means a term of being misled, of wandering. That means to say that she went and wandered off from her husband to other people. Div Rebbe Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, and that is what we see clearly is that Rebbe Eliezer holds that there is no halacha of a zayna, only for a married woman that went and she was mezana tachas baila, that she wandered off to someone else, but that does not include Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of an illness. So that the Gemara will continue the whole Baraisa, but this is the point that we see that Eliza does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda either, because he only considered a zayna about a woman that went and wandered off, meaning to say that she had a relationship that she went and was mezana. Second opinion, Rabbi Kiva, he says zayna zumuf keres. A zayna is a woman that's free to all, meaning even if she's not married, even if she's single, but once she has relations with anyone that wants to, so that gives her the designation of a zayna. But it's different than the last opinion that the Braisa is going to mention. It's not just a one-time thing. If one time a single girl had relations, cohabitation with a single man, that will not make her into a zayna. But if it's a thing that like a harlot is called, that meaning any type of person, that would make her into a zayna. Ramasi ben Cheresh, he says, afila halach baila. He says that she could become a zayna, that even if the husband is going to the great courts, the Bezna Gadol, and he's taking her lahashkoisa, to have her drink what's called the bitter waters, which comes through the process of what's known as the process of the saita, where he does kino, he warns her, then she secludes herself with that man. Now, she's forbidden to the husband until she drinks. However, Ubala Baderach, in spite of that, when he's taking her up to Beis Din to have her investigated for this, he goes and he cohabits with her. That Asa Zayna, even that would make her into a Zayna, because she's ultimately having cohabitation with someone that she's forbidden to, even though it's her husband, because you're forbidden until she drinks from the waters. And therefore, when her husband dies, although an Aman is permitted, in this case she would be considered a Zayna and forbidden to a Kain. Rabbi Yehuda, as we mentioned his opinion before, Zayna zu Alness. A Zayna is even an Alness, because it has to be the ability of Yefreitz or proliferation. The Chachamayim, they say no. Ein Zayna, as they said in our Mishnah, Eli Giyaris, only a woman that converted because she had relations when she was a non-Jew to non-Jews, which that's a Bia Pesula. Umishachreris, or a woman that was a maidservant that then was freed, where again she had relations with non-Jews and slaves, where since they're not B'nai Kedushin, they're not people that can have halachically valid marriages, therefore their cohabitation invalidates her. And B'shenevela B'lesnos, and a woman that has cohabitation with any man that she's forbidden to, for example, one of the Arayas in the Torah, so for example, a Bas Yisrael that has relations with a Nasin or Mamzer, those would make her into a Zayna. And the final opinion of Lezaimer is Ponoi Habala Panuya. If you have a single man with a single woman, Shaloi L'Shem Ishas, if they have cohabitation without the purpose, without the intention of this being the union of making them engaged or married, Asa Zayna, that goes ahead and makes her into a Zayna, even though it was just a one time that it happened. But one thing again is that we see is that Rabbi Elazar obviously does not hold like either one of these Tanoim, so that definitely cannot be the reason of why he said that a Kohen cannot marry Ketana. Say El Amar Rav Adabar Abba, rather he says a different pshat. Says Hacha, over there this halacha of Rabbi Elazar that he says that the Kohen is forbidden to marry Ketana is B'Kohen Gadol Askin. He was talking about a high priest, a Kohen Gadol. Now the reason is as follows, because La'emas Kanila. When does the Kohen Gadol finally acquire this minor as a wife? L'chigadla, it's only when she becomes an adult, because a minor's kedushin is nothing. So therefore, although he says, I want to marry you, and she's 5 years old, and she says yes, but there's no halachic kedushin until she becomes an adult. So ultimately, all the cohabitations that he had till she became an adult are like the halacha was called anusas atzma, mefutas atzma. It's like she was just being violated or being seduced, and therefore, ultimately, when the marriage finally kicks in, when she becomes an adult, is ba'ulihi. At that point, she already is considered a woman that had cohabitations, although it was with him. It doesn't make a difference because they weren't married to then, and therefore it's forbidden. To which the Gemara asks, Amar Rav, he says, mechale lev, which Rashi says is like from the word mevale lev, from people that confuse the mind. He says, I don't understand. Ida kachavu, if we're talking about that this minor had that her father married her off, that's halachic valid marriage. Mahi shait tohu dekanila. From that moment, she's considered fully married to him, even if she's 5 or 6 or 7, because as the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, the father has the rights to marry off his minor daughter, as the Pasuk says, as biti nesati l'shazar, I've given my daughter to this man. V'id dekichanavshe, if it's like, it sounds like you're saying that she herself got married on her own without her father to this Kohen Gadol, but if that's the case, so you're telling me that this is just Rabbi Yezah's opinion that the Kohen Gadol cannot marry the minor when she's marrying herself off and not the Rabbanan? Because the way it was set over was Rabbi Yezah, he said a Kohen cannot marry a minor. Now, that sounds like that's only him, but the Rabbanan arguing him. But would Rabbanan argue in such a case of a Kohen Gadol if she's marrying herself off? Of course they would agree that that would be forbidden. So what's the case talking about? Elam of Rabbah, rather, Rabbah gives a different interpretation. It says, La'olam kohen hedid, truthfully, is like we had assumed before, as the statement generically sounds like, a kohen, even a kohen hedid, cannot marry a minor. Now, it's for a totally different reason. It's because of a chayshina. There's a concern. Has there been a concern that we have over here? Shema tispatolov. Maybe, since she's a minor, and that she doesn't have her das totally there to know what's appropriate or not, she might be seduced by another man, and she's going to be mezana. She's going to be unfaithful in her marriage to the Kohen. Now the Gemara asks, "Hachi Yisrael Nami." So even a non-Kohen, he's forbidden to his wife if she's unfaithful to another man. So why is this just a concern for a Kohen? Leisa Ketana, it should be for any man. Shouldn't marry a minor. That the Gemara says, "No, Pituya Ketana Einasu." The seduction of a minor in halacha is considered like a violation. It's not like she agreed because she doesn't have enough das. She doesn't have the intellect to be considered that she agreed, that she consented. Therefore, in halacha, it's considered like she was violated. The oinus be Yisrael, Mishra Shari. And regarding a non-Kohen's wife, If she was violated, it's permitted to him, which is not the case by a Kohen. Even if his wife was violated, she becomes forbidden to him, and that's why it's a concern only by a Kohen, not marrying a minor, because she might be seduced by another man, and then she'll be forbidden to her husband. Another interpretation for this halacha, Rabbi Eliezer, of Papa Amar, he says, no, it's b'kohen gadol. V'haytanu, but it's going according to a specific tana that he says from Exeris HaKasiv, that there's an exposition in the pasuk that tells us that a kohen gadol is forbidden to marry a minor. The tana, like in the Braisa, the pasuk says besula, that besula me'am afi kachish, a kohen gadol has to marry only a besula. Now that the Braisa says yochel katana, you would think that he could marry a minor, tamaloymer isha. So this tana explicitly learns from a pasuk that no, the term isha always connotes an adult. He cannot marry a minor, it has to be only an isha. So that's why, that's where Rabbi Eliezer is coming from this tana, which a pasuk tells us this. Now, isha, if it said the term only of isha, so yochel begeris, you would think any adult, even if she's over the age of 12 and a half. Tamaloymer besula, the pasuk tells you, no, she has to be a besula. Once she reaches a ba'ula, when she's already a begeris, 12 and a half, then her besulim are not intact. So she's not a besula. So ha'ketzat, so you can't marry a minor, but you can't marry an adult. That the Gemara says, yatzis ha'machal katnis, the Braisa tells us that she has to be a woman that has already gone out of the status of being a katana. But for lechal bagris, lebasa, but she also cannot have already attained the status of bagris, which means to say she has to be just a naira kangal, according to this Tanakh opinion, could only marry a girl that's between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half. Or a similar source for the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, Benachem Yitzchak Amar, he says, hi Tanahu, it's going like this Tanah. The Tanakh learned the Braisa, he says, we know this halacha that a kohen cannot marry, a kangal cannot marry a katana, a minor, from the word besula, because ein besula ila naira. This Tana says that it says besula, it means to say that she has to be in this age group, this bracket of 12 to 12 and a half. Because b'cheinu aimer, we have a pasuk in Bereishis that tells us regarding when the definition of Rivka says v'hanara teves mara ma'oid besula, that the nara, the maiden, which is between the age of 12 and a half, was beautiful very much. She was a besula. So we see when the term besula is used, it's a reference to a nara, and that's how we know that a kohen gadol cannot marry a katana. Now, the last opinion mentioned that Braisa regarding who's considered a zayna was Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar said, "Panoi habala panuya shaloi l'shem ishus." A single man has relations with a single woman not for intention of marriage. A saw zayna, that makes her into a zayna. Hence, she is forbidden from now on to marry a kain. Now, that the Gemara concludes. Rabbi Avram ain halacha Rabbi Elazar. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Elazar, and that is just if the woman was one time and the single status had relations with a single man, that would not make her into a zayna to be forbidden to marry a kohen. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on a similar vein, regarding the halacha of pirvirivra, of proliferation. So the Mishnah tells us, lo yivatal odom mi pirvirivra. A person should not stop from having children. Elam ken, yesh lebonim, unless if he has children. In other words, a person should always maintain his attempt at having children, because that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Unless he already has children. He has children, so he already fulfilled the mitzvah, then he doesn't have to attempt anymore. Now, what's that qualification of having children? So, if you have at least two male sons, if you have at least one son and one daughter, that is considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Like it says in Pasuk in Bereishis, Zachu Nekeva Bra'am, that Hashem created them male and female. We see that that's the continuation of the world, of having a male and a female, and therefore that's the key of the mitzvah of Pir V'Riva, which was given over to have a male and a female. Now, that the Gemara makes an inference. It says that if a person doesn't have children, then he has to try to continue attempting the mitzvah Pir V'Riva. But the inference is Ha'yesh Le'banim. But if he has children, Mi Pir V'Riva Batal, it sounds like that then he doesn't have to attempt anymore at having children. But Mi Ish Le'Batal, it sounds like but that from a wife, that he cannot stand idle from. In other words, the inference is, as Rashi explains, it says in the Mishnah, lo yavatal odem mipirviyeva, a person cannot stop the mitzvah of pirviyeva, elam ken yesh leban, unless he has children. Now, it doesn't say lo yavatal odem miisha, that a person could stop having a wife, elam ken yesh leban, unless he has children. The inference is that even if he has children, he still has to have a wife, and he has to get married. Now, the only thing is that he doesn't have to go after the purpose of having the wife to have children from up, but you still have to have a wife. So that the Gemara says, Misayeli Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Dama that he says, Afa Pish Yesh Le'odim Kama Bonim, even if a person has many children, He's not allowed to stand alone without a wife. He has to be married. But that is because there's another purpose for a wife besides having children. And that is, he already fulfilled Purviyavir. Shnim, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereishis, Leitayv Hayesa Adam Levado, it's not good for a man to be alone. So without the purpose of Purviyavir, as it seems to be indicated from our Mishnah, a man still has to have a wife. Vigadami, they don't say a different version. Their inference from our Mishnah was that it sounds like Hayesh Leibonim, but if you have children, then Batam Pivriyivya or Batal Nami Isha, that no, that you don't have to have children anymore and you don't have to be married anymore. As Taisus says, because the second version is Medaik in the Mishnah, from the fact that the Mishnah did not say that Lo Yisa Odom Isha She'in the Bas Bonim, it didn't say that a person is not allowed to marry a woman that doesn't have children, Ilam Ken Yesh Leibonim, that only if he has children, which that's how it should have said if it was telling you that you always have to have a wife, because you always have to have a wife. It just should differentiate between the wife that can have children or a wife that cannot have children. And it doesn't make that division. Obviously, it sounds like that, no, once you have children, you don't have to have neither children or neither a wife. Towards the Gemara, in the second version, says, should that be a refutation of his halacha, that he said, even if you have children, you have to have a wife. That the Gemara says, that loy, no, that ein loy banim, as the first version had said, you should be medayik. No, that if you don't have children, noisi isha bas banim, then you have to marry your wife that has children. But yesh loy banim, if you have children, then it's not that you don't have to, when it says you batal pivriyiv, it doesn't mean that then you don't have to get married either. It just means that then noisi isha dela bas banim, that then you could get married to a woman that cannot have children. Now, so that the Gemara says, nafkamina, a difference between these two situations, which Tosis says it means another difference, is limker sefer Torah bishvil banim, is this heter, one's not allowed to sell a Torah scroll, except there are two exceptions, one of them being to marry a wife, which on that the Gemara is saying, that's only if you're selling it to marry a wife to be able to have children. But if he has children, although yes, there is a chiv to be married, but then you're not allowed to sell the Sefer Torah to get married to this woman that could have children. Rather, marry a woman that's an akara or is an elderly woman that can have children, because that heter of selling the Sefer Torah was only for the mitzvah of Purviyivya, that type of a wife. And that's the difference between these two situations, that if you have children, what do you mean, if you have to get married, what's the difference? It's to get married, besides the fact that you can get married to a woman that doesn't have children, moreover, the halacha of selling the Sefer Torah would not apply in that situation, because you can go ahead and marry someone else that cannot have children without selling the Sefer Torah.